Well, as I said at the beginning of Mass, it's really great to be back with you here today after being away last weekend at the Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. If you've never heard of that, it's the largest Catholic gathering of its kind in the world. And I wanted to begin today by sharing a story that I heard in one of the talks at the Congress. The story is about a man, and it's his birthday. And his birthday begins with all the usual trappings. There's a cake, there's balloons, there's the perennial, you know, happy birthday song, and of course, there are presents. And after all the gifts have been opened, the man's five-year-old daughter brought out one last gift for her daddy. She had been hiding it. It was an old box that she had found somewhere in the house and had decorated the box with a bow. And the man was really super excited to get this present, and he was deeply touched by his daughter's thoughtfulness and her resourcefulness, because it was clear that she had done this on her own without any adult supervision or help. But when the man opened the box, he found it was empty. His daughter's face was beaming with pride. Everyone else looked embarrassed. It was an awkward moment. And before her father could say anything, the girl's mother took the daughter aside and gently explained that it's not nice to give people empty boxes as presents. People usually expect something to be inside, right? A nice gift of some kind. Well, the girl's face reddened and she began to cry. But there was something inside, she said as her tears streamed down her face. I filled the box with kisses. Oh, I know. Do you ever feel like that little girl sometimes, though? Do you ever feel like that little girl? I do. As hard as you try, sometimes it just doesn't seem to measure up. You don't feel like what you're doing is enough. If you've ever felt like that, it's because we live in a world that sends us the constant message that in order to have value, you have to produce something of value. Maybe your boss at work doesn't value your work, even though you're doing your best. Or maybe you're the boss and you're the constant target of gossip and criticism by the people who work for you. Perhaps you're the servant in your family, always taking care of everyone, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, but it doesn't seem worthy of respect or even a word of appreciation. Or maybe you are your own worst critic and you've convinced yourself that your contributions, whatever they are, will never be enough. Your box, even though you've done your best to fill it with love and kisses, still seems empty. If that describes you, even a little, or even just sometimes, our new message series for Lent that we're calling Gracious Living is for you. The series is about God's grace, what it is, what it does for us, and how we get it, keep God's grace, and pass it along to others. Take a look. The thing about grace is that you can't earn it, you can't win it, you can't be worthy of it. It's not a prize for valuable people. It's not a reward for the best and the brightest. It's a gift. Grace is a gift from God, and it's completely unmerited, totally undeserved, and absolutely free. That's the part we can't get our heads around sometimes, right? God's grace and his love is free. The word grace comes from the Latin gratia, which translates the Greek word charis, which means love. Grace is simply a gift of love. Grace is God's unconditional love for every human being. And for me, that comes as an incredible relief, a relief from the constant demands and expectations of a world that is always asking, "What have you done for me lately?" Because with grace, God is the one doing the work. God is the one producing. We can only receive his grace. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at what God's grace does for us, how it prepares us for eternity, and how it helps us live better now. Specifically, we're going to be looking at 4 benefits of God's grace. As we'll see, God's grace reveals the truth. It heals us from our sins. It elevates our fallen human nature, and it saves us. Grace is what saves us in the end. And this week, we begin with the first of those gifts. We begin with the gift of revelation, that God's grace reveals something important to us. In the gospel story today, Jesus took 3 of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. They went up to this high mountain, which most scholars think is Mount Tabor. And you could see the view there on the screen from Mount Tabor in Israel. It's a very high mountain. I've been up there myself. The disciples had been following Jesus around everywhere, watching him heal the sick and teach the crowds and proclaim the kingdom of God. And it was time for a break, a short retreat on a mountaintop away from the stress of ministry. And when they got up there, Jesus was transfigured before them. What does that mean? It means that his face started shining like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. And those are symbols, those are images that are often used in the Bible and in other literature of the time to convey the presence of God. It was a sign that something from heaven was about to be revealed to the disciples, something extraordinary. And then 2 figures from the Bible, Moses and Elijah, they show up and they start talking with Jesus. And the presence of Moses represents the law in the Old Testament. And the presence of Elijah represents all the prophets in the Old Testament. And so putting that together, the law and the prophets, Elijah and Moses, the revelation was that Jesus was the one who was predicted in the Old Testament. What was being revealed to the disciples is that Jesus was who he said he was. It was to reveal to the disciples that Jesus was in fact the long-awaited Messiah sent by God to save his people. And that revelation came at a perfect time. The disciples needed encouragement. And like all of us, they needed a glimpse of heaven. And the transfiguration of Jesus was a moment revealing to them something they really needed to understand about God. It was a moment of grace. You see, without grace, we can never fully understand God. We can never fully understand ourselves or the world that we live in. And yet, like the disciples, we desperately need to understand. If you're honest about your own struggles, right, isn't it the not knowing, the unknown that makes so much of our daily lives challenging? And the problem is that even though God is totally interested in the world, and even though God is intrinsic to the world because he created it, he's still transcendent. He's beyond our ordinary human experience, and that makes it really hard to understand God. And yet, we were made for relationship with God. Humanity's highest calling is intimacy with God. The Bible says, "Think of what is above, not of what is on earth." Every human has a deep spiritual desire to know and see God. But to know God, you have to surrender yourself to a power that is greater than yourself. And you have to be willing to enter into a meaningful and intimate relationship with the one who created you and the one who will love you for all eternity. It's the only way to understand and make sense of your existence and why you're here. You can know a lot of things about God from your reason and from your intellect. Philosophers have done this for thousands of years. You can reason that God exists, that he is infinite, that he's all-powerful, that he's a personal God. But the best knowledge you can have of God can be revealed to you only through grace. And to receive that grace requires faith. Faith is an act of the will, an act of the will that helps us to believe in the truth that has been revealed by God. You see, grace pushes us to see beyond our daily material existence. Grace enlightens our minds to recognize that the teachings of Christ are real, that it's true. It's not just another thing, it's real. And the grace of God moves us to accept the truth that God's very being is love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus was transfigured in the gospel, so the disciples could know the truth about Christ, so that they could understand that truth, and so they could have the courage to carry on in the dark times. And the same is true for us. We need grace to know and understand God, but we also need grace to know and understand who we are in relationship to God. I want to tell you a story about that. Because sometimes I'm not sure that we fully understand how God sees us. There was a girl named Jillian Lynn. She was 7 years old. And her mom took her to the doctor because her school was concerned. See, Jillian just was unable to sit still for any period of time. Jillian was frustrated with school. Her teachers were exasperated. Her mother was at the end of her rope, and it was the 1930s, so no one had any idea how to support children with learning differences. And after examining Jillian, the doctor turned on some music in the exam room and stepped outside to talk to Jillian's mother. And from the hallway, they both were looking through a glass window, and they both watched as Jillian started jumping and twirling around in the room. She was captivated by the music. After a while, the doctor turned to Jillian's mother and said, "Ma'am, there is nothing wrong with your daughter. She is a dancer." And he encouraged her to get into dance school, send her to dance school, and the mom did, and Jillian thrived. Jillian went on to earn a degree from the Royal Ballet School in London. She joined the Royal Ballet. She later met the English music composer and impresario of musical theater, Andrew Lloyd Webber. And he chose her to choreograph many of his musicals. Two of the longest-running musicals that she choreographed are still on Broadway today. You've probably seen them, Cats and Phantom of the Opera. You see, where everyone else saw a problem child, that doctor saw her gifts. It's the same with God. He sees us as a gift. In the gospel passage, a great cloud gathered across the mountain where Jesus and the disciples stood. And from the cloud, God's voice thundered, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And just as in that one tremendous moment, God revealed the truth to disciples about himself and the truth about Jesus, God's grace also reveals the truth about who he is and who you are. He is your loving and gracious Father, and you are his son or daughter, beloved and precious. I hope you see yourself like that. When I went down to Congress last week, I told you about going to that conference. I was feeling pretty broken, I have to tell you. I had just received some pretty harsh criticism and had been second-guessing myself ever since. And then, during one of the sessions at Congress, the speaker invited us to talk for a few minutes to the person next to us. I hate that. But I had to do it. And I turned, and the person next to me was named Anna. And Anna was at a turning point in her life. After many years of being abused by her husband, she finally summoned the courage to leave him. She and her young son moved to a new town and established a new life. Anna was a young Hispanic woman with broken English, and she was alone and on her own for the first time. And with tears in her eyes, she told me that she had no choice but to put her entire hope and trust in God's grace to get her through to the other side of that hurt and pain. Well, after the session was over, Anna told me that she felt moved to tell me one more thing. Perhaps she was sensing my own self-doubt at the moment. Anna's last words to me were to thank me for being a priest. She said that her own pastor had helped her through her situation, and that she made sure God had made me a priest. She was sure that God had made me a priest to guide people like her and to help them in some of the worst moments of their lives. Trust in his grace, she said. And then she turned and left, and I never saw her again. But I was renewed by that grace, which through her had reminded me of who I am, God's beloved son. Whether you're young and you're just struggling to find your way in life, or you're a 20-something working hard to establish yourself in a new career, or a new mom or dad unsure of your parenting skills, or pulling your hair out, or maybe you're a middle-aged worker in the bout of a midlife crisis, or a divorced single parent fighting to keep your head above water. Whether you're an empty nester worried about your usefulness, or a widow alone for the first time in your life and weighed down by crushing grief, whatever stage of life you are on, let God's grace remind you of this truth. You are more than your troubles. You are more than your failures. You are more than your fears. And like Jillian, there is nothing wrong with you. You are a child of God, and you are more than enough. And that box you've been carrying around that sometimes seems so empty, it's actually really full. It's full of God's grace and his kisses from heaven.